Well, I'm continuing on in teaching today in the series. You know, I started with God's plan of salvation. It's Jesus. Jesus is God's plan. You know, people today are searching. There's people have all kind of plans and ideas. And in the church world, there's all kind of plans and ideas. But in many, Jesus becomes sort of insignificant in a way. Men's ideas, men's plans, we're going to do this and we're doing that. And lots of times, sort of Jesus is left out. You know, one of the things that I've always liked, I always like songs that magnify Jesus, that has His name in it at least, from the church-wise. We have there's a lot of new music today that people use, and I mean, the Muslims could sing it. I'm serious. They do. They use, you know, they use stuff. Do you know that the Muslims used for a lot of the Veggie Tales because they don't mention Jesus. They just talk about God. You know, the church ought to consider what its emphasis is. You know, you can get over and preach a lot of good things in the Bible, let Jesus out. But I'm just going to tell you this. If it wouldn't be for Jesus Christ, I would not be where I'm at today. I'd probably be dead and in hell because that's where my life I was heading, big time. You know, I had numbers of chances to die, and I didn't die. And one day I got born again, and I always knew this. If I stayed on my road, I knew I was going to end up dead. I knew I would end up dead. And, you know, a program didn't save me. Jesus Christ saved me. Turned my life around, hallelujah, and took somebody that was crazy and made me crazy for Him. Hallelujah. And they still think I'm crazy today. I just in a different direction. Hallelujah. But I tell you, I'm just so appreciative of Jesus. It's one of the things is God's been dealing with me a lot, and we're going to talk about today because it is, you know, resurrection, you know, and people will be talking a lot about the resurrection today. But the Lord began to speak to me about this on this subject. He even was talking while we were worshiping this morning. He was talking to me about it, making emphasis of certain things. Because we talk about the preaching of the gospel. But it's a very interesting thing about the preaching of the gospel because I like to listen to what other preachers talk about when they talk the gospel and say, you know, and they'll say, well, we're preaching the gospel. And I like to listen to what they're talking about when they say they're preaching the gospel. Sometimes I get shocked, especially what they don't talk about or what they consider being the gospel. You know, I've used this terminology before in other things, but if we would measure, like, say, the gospel as it put up as a yardstick. People have their segments that they preach. And you very seldom hear the whole gospel preached. They preach a part of it. Different groups become emphasizers of certain parts, whatever fits their theology. And I'm not knocking any group. I know I come among them, what they call the faith people, and they have their part that they preach lots of times and leave a lot of things out. And every group, they have them. There's groups that they leave things out. They have their parts that they preach. And then they call, we're preaching the gospel. Well, I'm sorry. There's a lot of stuff that's left out. But the Lord began to deal with me in the fact, is dealing with me with resurrection because of resurrection is left out of the gospel. It is a thing that is, if you would use the measuring stick, resurrection is about 2 inches that gets preached. And everything else is all kind of stuff. But don't you find this interesting? Because in Romans, the 10th chapter, Paul talked how you get saved. Paul talked about it. It's very interesting because he said it in Romans 10, verse 9, starts there. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. I thought it was the cross. See, I thought it was the cross. You see, the church, and really, Lord, the church has camped around the cross. That's where they camped. They just came, put their tent there, and they stayed at the cross. The cross is a place of sin and shame. That's the cross. And the church has done well. We've used the cross as the emblem of the church. Sin and shame. Wear sin and shame around your neck. Make jewelries out of sin and shame. Now, if the church actually had what would be our end result, it's the throne. Why don't we wear a little throne? You see, the church, you know, God's view and man's view is differently. See, we come by the cross, but the church has lived at the cross, and the church preaches the cross, and we do preach the cross. But you don't stay at the cross because you'll live in defeat. You know, that's what's along with a lot of the church today. They won't leave the cross. Poor old me. You know, we're down here, they're persecuting me. Well, the Bible says it. Jesus, if I live godly in Christ Jesus, I'm going to suffer persecution. What's the church griping about today? This is a good sign. Kenneth Hagin used to say this, if you don't live godly in Christ Jesus, you won't suffer any persecution. We're complaining about people are starting to persecute the church. It's a good sign. At least they're recognizing we're the church, finally. Amen. They're recognizing some people are the church. Hallelujah. You know, I learned this a long time ago about Christianity. If everybody likes you, there's something wrong with you. My God, Jesus couldn't get them to like him. Hallelujah. You live godly, it makes people nervous. You talk godly, people get nervous. You know, we was down with Randy Greer ministry, and Randy made the statement while he was preaching one night. He said about doing preaching certain things, and he said it'll make people. He said if you keep preaching this, he said if I keep preaching this, it'll make people mad. I said, well, that won't take long. That'll happen real quick. You know, it's one of the things we don't do well in America. That's called correction. You know, get over yourself. Hallelujah. I've gotten used to correction. I get corrected a lot. You know, I don't know why we have such a hard time with that. It's like somebody cried. You know, we walk around and live in this place. Can you really think that you're right all the time or something? I mean, what planet are you on? You ain't living in the real world. You know, ain't none of us know enough to be correct all the time. Even in Christianity. You know, when Paul made the statement, he said, I know in part. And he said, we prophesy in part. Well, dear Lord, that's where we're at. I thank God for everything we know. But you know, there's a lot we don't know. There's a lot, and we need to understand this. Many times walking in faith, we walk in faith in the parts we have. We walk by faith in these areas, and we live in faith in these areas. And you know, that's what faith's about. We don't know everything, but what I do know, I walk by faith of. I walk by what I can't see. If you can see it, you don't need faith. You can feel it, you don't need faith. Faith is about when you can't. The Bible says something is true and I don't see it nor feel it. People talk about, you know, they got saved and I got saved. It's one of the things, I never had any goosebumps when I got born again. I didn't have any, you know, people have experiences when they're born again. Maybe they do. I don't know. I didn't have one. I was just a crazy drunk, accepted Jesus one night in a living room, never had a feeling, a great weight lifted off of me. I never had any of that. I never had none of that. I just accepted Christ and just knew that I did the right thing. I just knew I didn't know what to expect. But there's one thing that I had happened to me, an experience, which I found that many people who said they had experiences didn't have. I got to change life. Amen. I find myself living different. Amen. I find myself changed me so much that my wife got born again. I said, well, honey, why did you? Because the Lord told me, he said, leave her alone. She don't trust you. And she was right. You know, she was at least had that good sense not to trust me. You know, I was crazy. But anyhow, you know, I said, well, why did you accept Jesus? She said, I'm living with a different man. If you got born again and you ain't different, you ain't got my Jesus. I have no recognition of that. He changes people. And see, we need to preach that gospel. We need to stop the 12-step program gospel and preach the Redeemer, the one who changes people's lives. The thing that was so, you know, I was an alcoholic, I could not see myself as not drinking. I mean, I couldn't comprehend it. You know, people say, well, why don't they just quit? Well, when you got a demon, it gets a little hard. You know, we're dealing with all kind of people with demons and we're trying to fix them. You know, they're drug addicts and we're trying to fix them with drugs. The stupidest morons in the world. We mess around. These people's lives have opened to demons. It isn't just about some natural thing that's going on in their body. We live in a world, we don't believe the truth. Why? Because I'm just going to tell you why. The church doesn't live in resurrection. They live in death. They live at the cross. We gotta preach resurrection. People need a resurrection life. That's what born again is. Resurrection. It happens because of resurrection. It didn't happen. No matter the cross. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 chapter. Listen what Paul wrote here in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 12 through 19. I'm going to read there, starting at verse 12. He says, "Now if Christ is preached that he's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there was people there in that church. They got away from the resurrection. We have that today. It started years ago. I remember years ago people talked that. Now that's coming around. See, I've lived long enough on the face of the earth to see a lot of doctrines, you know, over the years. They come around, like, say, every couple decades. They come back again. Like, you know, in 1980, when I came into the kingdom in the 80s, I got born again. They started the things of 1 John 1, 9, repentance for the, was it for the Christian? That's for the world, you know. That was written to the sinner. Well, that was written about fellowship. And there ain't no sinner in fellowship with God. It's not written about that. I mean, you got to change the subject. Poor knuckleheads don't even know the Bible. They don't know the difference between fellowship. And no sinner has fellowship with God. You can confess your sins to God all day, and you don't get saved because you confess your sin. You get saved because you confess Christ. Well, that thing was running around. That thing was going around, and people were having that. Now it's back today, and they're writing books about it and that stuff. And see, you don't have to repent. You know, you do wrong, you just keep on. Because, see, grace covers everything, you know. You know, grace is God's ability so you could live in sin. Grace is the ability to keep on sinning. Well, my words, I was doing a good job of that without God. I was better at it then. Why would I need God? Don't seem he's very good at it. See, people need, there needs to definitely be some awakening out here. But anyhow, he said, verse 13, "But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty." Now, I want you to think him talking about this, saying this to people. Because you say it to the Cross Church today, well, you know, what do you mean? You know, oh, you know, the cross, you know. He said, no, resurrection, it's empty. If Christ isn't risen, the preaching's empty. Gee, we must have done a lot of empty preaching. Well, you know, I had to tell the Lord I was guilty, you know. We don't preach enough about resurrection. We don't preach enough resurrection. The thing that changed my life was because the gospel that was preached to me was a resurrection gospel. It was a delivering gospel. It was a gospel that when I accepted Jesus, I was going to change. That's what was preached. I had an expectation that something was going to happen in my life. And something happened greater than I even anticipated. I didn't realize it was going to change me so much. I didn't realize it was. But see, I was preached change. I wasn't preached, you know, the drug addict comes in and here's how we get you saved. We get you into a program. And we get you, we don't preach resurrection to people. We don't preach deliverance to people. We don't tell them, you know, it says the truth sets you free. Does it really? Well, who is the truth? See, we don't have miracles because we don't preach a miracle gospel. And you won't have it. Nobody has faith. You can't have faith for what's not preached. Faith comes by hearing the word. See, we have whether people like it or not, there's a lot of psychology in the church. There's a lot of psychological gospel. The feel-good gospel. Well, some things in the gospel make me uncomfortable sometimes. You know, it's one thing. If I always want to get uncomfortable, all I got to do is put... I have these sermons from Smith Wigglesworth, these books and sermons and Smith Wigglesworth. All I got to do is pull one of his out and start reading his sermon, and I'm repenting. I'm just... He would skin you. But he wouldn't. He wasn't ugly. He'd just tell you what the word says, and this is the way it is. And it's like, oh, well, you know, I'm not quite meeting that. My attitude's wrong in that area. I can see it. You know, and you look at it. We're afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings out here, but I'm going to tell you this. Nobody gets saved unless they find they're no good. Now, we get people to accept the social gospel. You know, this is, you know, you can come as you are, and you leave just the way you came. That's not. I came the way I was, but when you run into Jesus, you're never the same. Hallelujah. You're never the same. That's my Jesus. I don't recognize a lot of Jesus. It's preached. I don't recognize it. You know, I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about the fact that people get born again and stuff. Well, they come and say, I don't know if I'm saved. He said, I've always known I'm saved. He said, I can't associate with somebody saying it. I don't know what they're talking about. That you get born again and then you don't know if you are. Well, that's the way I have had a changed life. I don't recognize getting born again and not having changed. I don't recognize it. I don't recognize getting born again and not wanting to be around the things of God, you know, just like carry my old life off over like it was. I can't, somebody comes to me and says, you know, counsel me, I have this problem. I can look at them and say, I have no clue what you're talking about. All I can think is you need to get saved. That's all I can think. Because my relationship and what I associate God with, I can't see it from where they're coming from. I can only see Jesus as changing people. See, we have a miraculous God and we need to preach it. His Son is miraculous. You know, we look in the church world of the preaching of the gospel. How is this preaching of the gospel? What does it do? One of the things, see, today we're trying to preach the gospel without the miraculous. We don't want miraculous. We don't, you know, we're trying to get people in. Yeah, I was just reading a thing on a church. I mean, very large church, they have a bunch of good things they do. But, you know, they're around, you know, giving out sort of like a lottery ticket. You go to get people into church, you can win prizes, and that's how you get people to church. You know? Poor apostles didn't know that. Here they were doing miracles when they should have been handing out the lottery tickets. I mean, they would have done real well on that stuff. You don't have to go through all that stuff of seeking God and things. You know, you don't have to go through all that stuff. And you know what? So, you know, and how do you get people in churches? I mean, there's a church. When I find out things that go on, how they do, because they put out these things, how to reach people. As the Lord told me back when, way back yonder in the early 80s, and I was didn't want to, but the Lord told me to take over. I was in the church and they just had a messed up, terrible youth program and it was nothing but, you know, the people they had in charge were, I don't know if they were saved. If they were, it was barely. But anyhow, you know, they liked kids, you know, but there was nothing spiritual going on in the thing. And so finally the pastor realized that they were going to have to go. He came and asked me to take it over and, I said, I didn't want to do that. So, you know, it was one of those things that, you know, you just say, well, I'm going to pray. Well, I'll be honest with you. I didn't plan on doing much praying about that. I sort of had my mind set that I wasn't going to, we ain't going there. So anyhow, finally did talk to the Lord about it, doing it. The Lord said, I want you to take it. I said, what on earth do I know about youth? I don't know a thing about it. I said, mere Lord, I mean, I lived out my youth age is crazy. You know, my word, lock that boy up. But anyhow, so I said to the Lord what to do about it. And because, see, they had all these programs. They were, you know, you raise money for the youth thing and that stuff. You sell stuff to people, you know, in a church they don't want. You know what I mean? You know, don't sell me another coffee mug. If you want some money, ask you, I'll give it to you. Dear God, you don't have to ask me to buy some stupid thing I didn't want. You know, we're going to sell stuff. We're going to do this. See, I never liked that kind. I always thought that was sort of crazy. Why would you buy it? I mean, I've done it. Right? People come and ask for money to say something. I say, here, take some money. You know, just I don't need another thing in the up here that I'm going to turn around and give it to somebody for yard sale because we don't even do that anymore. Give it to somebody else for their yard sale. Let them sell it. You know, I don't want any more of that stuff. And so they do that. But you notice, number one, the Lord began to speak because I asked questions. What do you do? Because, see, they were running a youth ministry and how they were doing it. And, see, I've heard people then complaining about the fact about, well, the churches today, you know, at that time, it was a lot of buying, people buying and selling, and they still are today. But I asked the Lord about, what about raising money? Because they always put the youth ministry over it. He said, do you know why churches today do all this stuff and always selling stuff and doing all the things that they do to raise money? He said, cause that's what they taught their young people to do. And when they grow up and take over the church, that's how they run it. They were trained to do that. That's how you raise money. Well, I said, well, that sounds nice, but what on earth do I do? What do I do? He said, whatever you use to get them, you're going to have to use to keep them. See, the seeker-friendly church cannot change today. It will never change. Because if it does, the old people will leave it. You can't. Oh, hey, it's true. I've seen things, big churches. They realize they got in left field. They're starting to try to move over to get back into spirituality, and people are leaving. See, they weren't brought in spiritually. They were brought in on stuff. You know, doing what we like, you know, and that stuff. Doing those things. No. What you do, see, the gospel, what we preach, we need to come back. Is the gospel as powerful as it's said to be? Is it as powerful? That's a decision we have to make. Will the gospel touch people's hearts? See, I've been through from the time as a kid on up, from a little kid. I sat in revivals as little kids during the healing revivals of the 1950s. Went on to be a real good sinner. It wasn't because, you know, that I wasn't in around things that were spiritual. But I'll tell you this. They would preach the gospel, and you folks heard me talk about it. I mean, we sat in meetings, and I want to tell you, the conviction power of God. Let me tell you, there was no candy in those meetings. I mean, there was no fluff about nothing going on there. You went into those meetings, but they would preach the gospel. Grown men would wail and cry and run to the altar. The power of God, it was the power of God. It wasn't men were so good at it. It wasn't a matter of men being such great preachers. But God, people were preaching, there's a move of God going on. There's no fluff in this thing. I'm talking about people with dramatic change lives and that stuff. Things that took place in those times. The miracles and things, the service. Like I've told you guys, I was, Oral Roberts was up here in Harrisburg and I went to his meeting in a 20,000 seat tent. Let me tell you what, boy, could you camp in that thing? It was huge. And he had this big tent. And here at the prayer ministry, I mean, I remember, I was just a little tight. I remember standing on a wooden folding chair, standing on top of it. And there were stacks of, from, you know, at that time, especially a lot of people, polio and stuff was big back then. I mean, stacks of braces of people who had polio were walking. And you just, anything, braces of any kind you could think of, crutches, wheelchairs, I mean, just stacked up. Sound like a Jesus meeting. They're reading in the Bible. The multitudes God healed. See, we don't have, we don't believe that today. That's not for today. No, we got all this other stuff for today, you know, that don't amount to anything. But getting over, see, there was moves of God, and this is what we want to get to. It's what we believe. And we got to get our believing back in order. Now, I haven't forgot about this thing we're talking about over here in 1 Corinthians 15, because Paul said in verse 14, so if Christ is not risen, then our preaching's empty and your faith is also empty. Your faith is empty if it's only in the cross. Did you know that? Did anybody ever tell you that? No, they don't tell you that. Why? It's in the Bible. See, we have our sections we read. Faith is empty without resurrection. You know, if Jesus would have taken our sin and he went down and paid the penalty for our sin and that was it, that was all there was, you and I'd be as lost as we were. The new birth's in the resurrection. It's not in the cross. The cross is where the price was paid for sin. But without resurrection, there's no new birth. You know, see, the church today, and our focus is, because he will talk about this, but our focus today is the resurrected body. The resurrected body is really the manifestation of the resurrected spirit. Jesus, it says, he was the firstborn from the dead. See, when you get born again, that's what you get born from spiritual death. That's why there's going to be a physical resurrection for you. If that don't take place, the other will not. And see, the church just looks at a body being resurrected. The body, the reason Jesus came out in a glorified body because his spirit was glorified. And your spirit was glorified when you got born again. See, if we preach to people, they have the faith to understand they've been glorified. Their inner man has been glorified. Hallelujah. We pass from death unto life. Sin no longer lords over us. Instead they preach, well, you know, you're just going to sin. You know, that's just, you know, we're just believing Jesus. But you know, you're just going to sin. That ain't what the Bible preaches. What is good of becoming a glorified spirit being and you're still dominated by sin? Well, then the cross wasn't even any good. See, we don't have faith to live right because we don't preach the faith to live right.
Amen.
We're preached a weak faith that, well, you know, we're just down here. I'm sorry. I thought we were seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I thought so, for sure. Well, I read it somewhere I know. I'm not sure. But I was dumb enough to believe that.
Amen.
You know, if things are, if I can't walk right, it is me that's the problem. It's not God. God did everything so I can live and walk right. God did. I can't throw excuse on nothing else. I can't celebrate resurrection and then say, well, you're just going to sin. And it's just the way we know. We're just down here just trying to get through life. I'm just a weary pilgrim down here. I'm just trying to get by. We're not weary pilgrims trying to get by.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We need to get over the death Christianity. Death Christianity. Death still holds on to us. Hallelujah. We're supposed to have the hope in us. If we have this hope, hope in Christ. John wrote, those who have this hope purify themselves. Didn't say God even needs to do it. You know what? Because you can do, you can straighten your own life out by the power of God that He gave you.
Amen.
No. I need a counselor. That's what I need. Man, there's one living in you. It's God, the Holy Ghost, the counselor. If He ain't good enough for you, forget it.
Amen. Preach.
It's living in you. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in Cousin Harry. We're not sure about the rest of you. Hallelujah. See, it's taking hold. Taking hold. What you really are. I mean, we should get up every morning and do a jig. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, the devil get it. Oh my God, he's awake again.
Hallelujah.
Not, oh my God, we're just trying to get by today. You know. You know, I refuse. You know, I tell you myself, I found out last night I had a water leak. You know, it was getting time to go to bed, and I found out it ain't a good one. You know, it's gotten into things you couldn't see and stuff, and so I had to shut water off. And you know, I got to go home today to see about fixing that thing because, you know, I have water shut off. You know, it'd be nice to have water running in the house. I got used to that. I don't know if you guys did it yet or not. But anyhow, we don't carry buckets anymore. We tried to quit that. Anyhow, so I got it. You know, and you can get upset and say, oh, man, I planned it. It don't matter. It don't matter. Just a leak in the house. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Dear Lord, the King's going to crawl underneath there.
Amen.
See, we talk about Jesus the King, but He's the King of Kings. Who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm still at the cross dying. You know, there's people on Friday with the crucifixion, like going to the Philippines, they still get people trying to crucify themselves. They do that. I was down in Peru, and in Lima, Peru, they have these... they have the mountains on the west coast. On the west side, they're all rock and hardly a thing grows on them. Now, if you head over on the eastern side of them, and that's if you hit jungle. But because all the rains push in off the east coast, and when they hit, they drop all the rain over there. And so you got these terrible rugged mountains, awful rocks and stuff and things. And these poor people, you know, they put crosses up there on the top of them. And then their holy days, these people will crawl on their hands and knees up through to go up. And I'm going to tell you what, it'd tear you up doing that. You know, they're all trying. The cross religion, you know, poor old Jesus, you know, and I've got to, you know, you can't pay it back. Get over yourself.
Amen.
What are you going to do? You know you want to pay Him back? Live like you're a king. Live like you're somebody.
Amen.
Live like a priest and a king. Live like, you know, people, well, we're just praying, trying to get a hold of God. I'm sorry, I ain't trying to get a hold of God. He done moved in.
Amen.
I ain't praying to somebody out yonder. He moved in. God's in you. Hallelujah. Folks, you know, go look in the mirror and say, this ugly person that I'm looking at, God lives in him. There, Lord. Woohoo. He must be pretty nice. He moved in with me. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have moved in with me. Nah, never. Hallelujah. But God did. God moved in. And He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Our God's crazy, ain't He? He's crazy good.
Amen.
And see, we got to preach Him as good as He is.
Amen.
We have to preach Him as good as He is. Hallelujah. Man deserved death. You know, the Gospel of John, the third chapter, 36th verse, says that the wrath of God abides on the unbeliever. Now think about that. When I was an unbeliever, I deserved the wrath of God. That was my destiny. The wrath of God as an unbeliever. God loved people so much, He didn't want to pour His wrath out. So He sent His Son so we didn't have to face His wrath.
Amen.
Now, where did you ever run into a judicial system like that one? You deserve to have every ugly thing in the world, you terrible thing! You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give my son the punishment and raise him from the dead so you don't have to put up with the ugly.
Amen.
So you get all my blessing. Well, see, it doesn't make sense. Our gospel is not to make sense to the natural mind. It's not for the natural mind.
Hallelujah.
We're trying to make the gospel palatable for people that are crazy like I was. It's not for that. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. There's power in it for some stupid reason. I believed it.
Amen.
The Bible says, look, God's not looking for the guy that thinks he's smart. We keep trying to. Here in America, we're the smarties. You know, well, here in America, we're so educated. Some of the dumbest people in the world. I've been around the world in some places, man. And you want to come to one of the dumbest places in the world? Here's America. That's going to come the dumbest group of people you ever meet. Is here. Because we think we're so smart. We don't even know what's going on in the rest of the world. We don't even know what's happening out there. We're listening to our news media thinking they're telling us what's going on in the world. Man, you believe that, you ain't lived. I'm going to tell you, get out of America and go someplace. You'll find out what the rest of it's like out here. But see, we live in this little shelled thing here. And we think out here, we live in media. They tell us what people are like in America. People ain't like in America, like the meme says. Oh, sure, there's all kind of nuts. Because this is America. The squeaky wheel gets all the attention. That's the way the church is. The squeaky wheel gets all the attention. And the people who walk and live right are ignored. Because we're chasing the squeaky person all the time who got a complaint. Now, we're just lining them up. They're always there. You know, we're trying to make special ministries for them. Instead of telling them, get saved, shut up, and sit down.
Amen.
Act right. No, we don't preach act right. We preach, no, they have learned. We have trained them. The more troublemaker you are, the more attention you'll get.
Yep.
Oh, we've got them, and then we turn around. I don't understand why they act like that. You know? How's your parents say, I don't know why my kid acts like that. They've been living with you. That's why. Somebody else. Who else trained them? Say, the school did it. Get over that one. My kids went to school and they didn't turn out like them heathens. Why? Because they lived at home with their daddy. And he knew God. Hallelujah. You know, my oldest daughter, listens back there, she told my youngest daughter one time when they were really little, said, don't ever lie to daddy. God will tell him. My kids knew I knew God. And God would tell me things. I'd know things. I always used to surprise people. If you don't know things are going on, I'm just telling you, you don't know God. But see, our preaching, we didn't have faith to know God. He was a foreigner. He's somewhere we're trying to leave. He's so much better than us. He's so much, and you know, how can we communicate? How can, you know, we're just not as good as He is. He's made us like Him.
Amen.
And the finale's coming, folks, where we're going to put on a body just like Jesus. And we're going to look on Him face to face. Our complete redemption. See, that's what we're moving to. The complete redemption ain't the cross. It's resurrection, folks.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The finish of the resurrection. That's what we're heading to. Preaching the resurrection. Paul said, yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified that God, He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise, if in fact the dead is not raised. He said, for if the dead is not raised, then Christ is not raised. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're in your sins. Gee, I thought the cross took care of all that. We didn't tell people the truth. See, we didn't teach the power of resurrection. See, when I look back at people, I realize, you know, like John G. Lake, and I look at Smith Wigglesworth, and I say, those people knew power of resurrection. They knew about the man who has God's glory on him. You know, because they were so busy, people using scriptures. Well, God doesn't give his glory to anyone. Well, sit, read those things in context, what it's talking about. People pull scriptures here. Well, you know, the scriptures, how is God, the ministers of stamp say, well, you know, the Bible says the heart's always to do evil. Yeah, that's right. It was talking, who was it written to? It was written to people who were dead in sin under the old covenant. If your heart is only to do evil, it's cause you ain't saved. That's why. My heart isn't always to do evil. My heart is my conscience. When I do evil, if I do something wrong, my inner man says, knock it off. The Holy Ghost don't have to tell me I do wrong. I have one inside of me, my own human spirit says, you shouldn't have done that. I don't have a devil and an angel sitting on one side or the other. Now, there's plenty of devils to go around. There's plenty of angels to go around. But I have a conscience. Paul said, I always obey my conscience. Why? Well, you, if you don't obey your conscience, don't pay any attention to the Holy Spirit. It ain't going to work. You're born again. It is your nature to want to do right. That's your nature. Your nature isn't want to do wrong. I mean, why would you even want to be here today if you want to do wrong? My God.
Amen.
It's foolishness. It is not your nature. Born again people, it's never their nature. It's not their nature to sin. It's not your nature to want to do wrong. That isn't in it. But see, when we stay and stay at the cross and don't live in resurrection, we stay over in the areas of guilt. I was so bad. I was so bad. I was so bad. And God's saying, hey, when are you going to come up to the throne? When are you going to come up to this place of authority, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that's named? When are you going to come and take this seat? When are you going to come and sit in this place? When are you going to come and sit here and look down on the problems and say, it's always down here? The problems are weight over my head all the time, pushing me down and pushing me down. People are living like that today. The weight of sin is pushing people down and pushing people down. And we got one day of resurrection. And we hear, cheer, Jesus was raised. If I wasn't raised with him, there ain't no cheers.
Amen.
It don't matter. Resurrection of Jesus don't mean a thing if I wasn't raised with him. It doesn't mean a thing. It's nothing to you and me. The fact is, you were raised with him. It's the shout of what God did for us. Hallelujah. Verse 18, it says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If there's not a resurrection, believing in the cross didn't save you. Can you imagine this? If in this life we only have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Hallelujah. But folks, that's not us. That's not us. Hallelujah. The church is the resurrected body of Christ. That's who we are.
Hallelujah.
We're born of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have the life and the nature of God. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ. You know, it's a phenomenal thing. I mean, wrapping your head around, there's things that people ask me questions I wouldn't be able to answer. How do you figure, though, Jesus took the sin of the world, took our sin on himself. Now, he never sinned. But he died with our sin and paid punishment. He became dead in sin with my sin. And the Bible says he's the firstborn from the dead. The first. Firstborn from the dead. Then it goes on talking about being the second, whoever's after. Well, somewhere along the line, you and I were numbered. One day we came to Christ and we I don't know if they tell us what number that is. Maybe we get to heaven. They'll let us know what number we were. I don't know. I don't know how many millions and hundreds of millions it might have been before that came along, but I came along one day and I was a number born. Did you ever think about Jesus got born again just like you did? He was the first one to get born again. Isn't that amazing? We don't think about Jesus being born again. But if he wasn't, you ain't.
Amen.
The resurrection, that's what happened. He got raised from the dead. I can just imagine, you know, is number one, I often wondered about what the devil must have thought is first of all. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God and he knew that Jesus was living sinless because he tried to tempt him to get him into sin and he couldn't do it. And he dies and ends up in hell. I wonder what the devil thought. I wonder what's going on. You know, they have all these ideas about these things and sword fights and with the devil and all that. That's a bunch of junk and hogwash that never took place. You know, Jesus ends up there with the sin of the world. And I can imagine the devil thought, I don't know how he got here. Now you understand this. The plan of salvation was already in place before Satan ever sinned. He was so stupid, he thought he was smarter than God. And his doom was already set. His doom was already set. The Bible says, you know, before the foundation of the world, God sent Christ. Before Satan ever fell. He didn't know. This guy's so dumb. We put him up on a pedestal. I said, boy, Satan's some big. I can't imagine a third of the angels fell. I didn't think that a third of the angels would be so stupid. But, you know, it must be a lot of dumb angels. Must have been. They fell with him. They believed it. They fell for this guy. And didn't know that their doom had already been set before they fell. That God already had a plan. And he had a plan. It was resurrection. What must the devil have thought when Jesus went from a spirit dead in sin and was transformed into a living spirit again? What must the devil have thought? I bet that blew his mind. I bet that, you know, the Bible says, you know, they said that they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. Had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. And I bet when that happened, they said, oh my God, what did we do? Hallelujah. But see, we don't ever have to do that believing in Christ. Oh my God, what do I do? Say, oh my God, who did it? Hallelujah. The changed life. The same resurrection. The Bible talks about creation and God setting the stars and things. It said he used his fingers. He set the stars out there with his fingers. But it talks about our salvation. It said he used his arm. The most powerful thing that ever happened was so you could be born again. Most powerful thing, God. There's no healing, as people say, God don't use healing today and all that kind of nonsense. If God would save you, healing means hardly a thing. It hardly takes any power for God to heal people. It almost takes nothing. But it took the arm of God to save man. The most power that was ever exerted in this universe was done in hell the day that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and seated in glory. And you, the day when you called on his name, that same power raised you from spiritual death to spiritual life. And that today the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in you. You have resurrection in you today. We're not trying to get it. God ain't going to come down here when he shows up with Jesus and have set something down here. The spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is already living in you and is going to change your body in an instant. It's already in you. But it's in you today. It says why? It's in you because of your mortal body. It quickens, makes alive the mortal body. In other words, the Holy Spirit's in you right now. About your health and about your well-being and your wholeness. It's about having a sound mind. The Bible says you have the mind of Christ. You're not trying to get it. Quit trying to get the mind of Christ. The Bible says you got it.
Amen.
Well, sure you got it. You couldn't have the Holy Spirit in you and not have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a living being. He takes what belongs to Jesus and reveals it to you. Hallelujah. It's already on the inside. You have it. Just hook up to it. Hallelujah. You know, it's just like the computer. I don't know a whole lot, but I can type things in there and it makes me look smart. I come up with ideas. Oh my words, do you see that? See, people think I studied a lot. No, I found it in there, right there. See, that's the Holy Ghost in you. You know why you don't know as much as you need to know? Because you don't ask. Just like my computer. I don't touch that board and don't do nothing to it. Even if I can talk into my computer, if I don't ask it questions, it don't have any answers to give me. You've got the great answer giver right inside of you
Hallelujah.
Today. Hallelujah. See, we're taking communion this morning. This is about fellowship. Oh, man, this God is something to fellowship with. Communion is fellowship. That's what it is. Jesus is calling out when we take communion. It's a call out to fellowship. That's what it is. God wants you to fellowship with him. Hallelujah. We fellowship with him. The Bible talks about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. You fellowship with the Holy Spirit, you're fellowshipping with Jesus.
Amen.
Whatever Jesus has, he'll reveal it to you. He'll show it to you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. I mean, it goes on. Jesus said he'll show you things to come. See, we're waiting for some prophet to come and tell us. You don't wait for some prophet to come and tell you. He'll show you. You write a book and give it to the prophet. A load of them need it. They need somebody to tell them what's going on. Hell, loads of them don't have a clue. But anyhow, but see, you get in touch on the inside. Hallelujah. Because you got the same Holy Ghost. You have something different in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have an anointing. We have an anointing from the Holy One. And we know all things. Glory to God. We all too, because that anointing lives in us. It ain't something we're trying to get, that anointing. That anointing to know is one that's abiding in you right now. Hallelujah. Whatever you're going through. And so God gave us these elements. These elements. See, these elements, people say, well, these elements about Passover. This ain't Passover. Because God, Jesus never gave us Passover. These elements are for the people who are born again. He said, what you do is this. He said the bread and the wine. He didn't say all that other stuff, the meal you had to do. You had to kill the lamb and eat some of it and that stuff. To go and do all those things, Jesus already fulfilled all that. That's going back like it ain't been done. No, this is a reminder. He's risen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. His body, He took the curse. So you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. The curse of the law, go read it, Deuteronomy 28. Any ugly thing you can think of. Any ugly thing you can think of. And then it even ends up with the thing. And even things that are, it says things that aren't even mentioned in this list. Anything ugly that isn't mentioned, it's a curse. And the Bible says we're redeemed from it. And the church preaches today, no, you're not, you know. You're living in earth and we just got to put up with everything that everybody else puts up. You know, we're just trying to get by. You're redeemed from the curse. You're not going to, God ain't going to ever redeem you from the curse. You know that? Because He already did. What you're supposed to do is believe you had been. See, faith is believing you got something you can't feel, see, or touch. That's faith. See, the reason you know, people say, well, you know, I'm trying to think about faith and, you know, and I always told you folks, faith has nothing to do with when everything's going great. Ain't got a thing to do with it. Everything's going great. You don't need faith. But when things fall apart, so often I need faith because, you know, I can get myself in trouble. I can do that. See, that's where faith comes in. I believe I have something from God I can neither see nor touch. And I say, well, praise God, I believe I got it. Well, you don't look like you got it. It don't matter what it looks like. Faith says I have it. Hallelujah. And I just tell people this. Hide and watch. You'll see it.
Amen.
Just hide and watch. You'll see it. You see, living like it's true. Let's live like it's true. Let's live like resurrection. Let's stop living death. Let's live resurrection.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's take a hold of the resurrection life and tell this world. Hallelujah. We tell them, we take them by the cross and tell them about the thing. But you emphasize the resurrection. God will change and revolutionize your life. They can't believe for what they don't hear. If you preach them, oh, you'll get by, yeah. And God will help you and that stuff. And we're going to pray for you. And, oh, that's wonderful. I'll tell you, I know people have been prayed for night and day and people praying for them all the time. I got more in a new birth than a lot of these people got for people praying for them all the time. Why? Because of faith. Faith is what pleases God.
Amen.
See, when you pray, you ought to run into God sometime when you pray. And you ought to hear something.
Hallelujah.
Faith comes by hearing. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, God changes. Like, let's tell people. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. It says He was raised, what, for your justification. Didn't say He died on the cross for your justification. He was raised for your justification.
Amen.
Glory to God. You're justified in the presence of God. You're justified to walk in and say to God, talk to Him about anything you want. See, when Jesus told the disciples on the night that He was betrayed, He told them, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. What a wild statement. When has religion ever believed a thing like that? Oh, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no. Was Jesus a liar? Was Jesus a liar? You see, we can't... No, the world hears our crazy gospel. They hear it. And they have had it drilled in them for years and years. About a weak God. A God that sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no. Poor dumb John didn't know. He went and wrote, we ask anything according to your will. We know He hears us. And when we know He hears us, we know we have the petition we requested of Him. But then the next verse says, sometimes He says yes, sometimes He says no. Yeah. We're the same as the Jews did when they added all those laws onto the law to tell you how it works. You know, I'm not listening to people to tell me how it works. I don't need that. God tells you how to preach the Bible to me. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. Hallelujah. Stand to our feet. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited about Jesus? Isn't He wonderful? Hallelujah. What He made you. So you can't today look and say what you are, what you've become in Him. There's no paybacks. Just get over all that stuff. You know, I'm not serving God just because, you know, I just got to do something for Him for what He did for me. No, I'm going to tell you what, if I do it like that, I'll do it my way. And boy, we're in trouble. You know what? No, God, I'm still in the same way. I need Your anointing to do Your will. I still need help. It don't ever change. I can't pay back because my payback would never be good enough. It would never. And see, this is what, I just want to do this for God. No, God, what do You want me to do? Because I will need Your anointing or I'll do dumb. I'll do my will. And I did that for 30 years of my life. Didn't work out well. Amen. I did my will and I found out that didn't work. But I found out the will of God works in man. God never asked me to pay Him back. You know what He did? Jesus says, we're supposed to love Him. I can do that. I can love Him. Amen. I can love Him for what He did for me. I can love Him. Hallelujah. Oh, my words. And you know, we're supposed to be thankful and praise. I can do that. I can do that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's, you know what He asked for? He asked me to be in faith. Just believe what He says. Trust in what He said. I can do that. See, it don't always make sense. Don't worry. I did a lot that didn't make sense, but I went and did it anyhow. So it don't matter, you know? We all did things that didn't make sense. So don't say, well, I don't like this faith stuff. It just don't make sense. Why? Just join the club. You're part of it. You're part of the don't make sense club anyhow. Hallelujah. That's what I did. I just got over and say, you know what? It sounds crazy, but the Bible says to do that. So we're going to do that.
Amen.
It didn't make any sense. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's our Jesus. And we're here today. We're fellowshipping with Jesus. That's just what this is about, fellowshipping with Jesus. Hallelujah. We're taking these elements. It's a reminder of you. And really, these things should be personal to you. They're personal to you. He gave His body for you. He gave His blood for you. Father, I'm just so thankful for Jesus. Father, where would we be? What would our lives be? Lord God, Lord, in all that's going on, we can still have a smile on our face. Hallelujah. Lord God, Lord, we're not down in the dumps. We're not going under. We're going over. Hallelujah. Lord, not because of our great works, anything we've done. Lord God, You're the one that set us far above all principality, power, might, dominion. You're the one that placed us in the position that we're in Christ Jesus. Jesus, I'm so glad that You're Lord and I'm not. I am so glad, Jesus, to have You to rule over me. I am so thankful for a faithful Lord who loved me so much. Loved me so much. Hallelujah. That no matter what I had done with my life, it was all overlooked because of faith in You. Lord Jesus, it's mind-blowing. I can't figure it out. But I'm not going to try to. Just going to believe it's true.
Amen.
Just believe it's true. And so we thank You today as we approach these elements, Lord God. Jesus, You gave these on the night before You were crucified. And You said we're supposed to do this to remember You. And Lord Jesus, oh my, it's good to remember You. How wonderful it is to remember You. Lord Jesus, sometimes we get off track of things, but I thank You for giving us elements to bring us back on track again to remember You. Hallelujah. Because You're our life.
Amen.
There's no life without You. You're the author of it. Hallelujah. You're the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And we're looking unto You, Jesus, today. Thank You for all that You've done for us and will continue to do through us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.